Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. On this Palm Sunday, our focus is on Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem from Mark chapter 11. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. During Lent, we've been exploring God's covenants with the people of Israel in the Old Testament and how God's promises in those covenants were fulfilled in the life and work of Jesus. Today's reading follows that same pattern. While Mark doesn't explicitly quote as much Old Testament scripture as some of the other evangelists, his account of Jesus entering Jerusalem assumes many Old Testament promises that help explain why the people were so excited to see Jesus that first Palm Sunday. For example, already back in Genesis chapter 49, Jacob prophesied that from his son Judah would come a king to rule the nations. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. He will tether his donkey to a vine, his colt to the choicest branch. He will wash his garments in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes. And while that prophecy was initially fulfilled in the great King David, it would finally and eternally be fulfilled in our Lord Jesus. We see that, for example, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, when the prophet Nathan promised David an even greater royal descendant. "The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." And so in today's reading, we see Jesus proclaimed as the one bringing that promised kingdom into being. We see it in the way people laid down their cloaks for Jesus to sit upon, as happened to Old Testament kings before him. We also hear it when the crowds greet Jesus with words from Psalm 118, recognizing him as one who comes in the name, that is, in the authority of the Lord. And finally, we see it in the way the crowds wave branches in celebration, as they did 2 centuries earlier when Simon Maccabeus freed Jerusalem from an invader. Sadly, this celebration of Jesus as king didn't last long. Before the week was out, the inhabitants of Jerusalem would shout at Pilate to crucify the so-called King of the Jews. But that's the topic for next Friday. For today, I want to focus on the theme of the kingdom Jesus inaugurated and the blessings that flow from his rule. I want to reflect on what it means for us to have Jesus as our king. When we think of kings today, we probably think of someone like our own King Charles. But Jesus is not like any modern king. Without any disrespect to King Charles, he has little impact on the lives of everyday Australians. While he is our head of state, he has a largely ceremonial role. He leaves the day-to-day governing up to our elected politicians. And none of us is likely to even have the chance to interact personally with our earthly monarch, let alone get to know him well. It's therefore more helpful to compare Jesus to an ancient king, someone like his ancestor, King David. If you look at David's history in 1 and 2 Samuel, he spent much of his life fighting the enemies of Israel. His main job was protector of God's people. And when David finally subdued his enemies, he ruled. He made and enforced laws and personally judged cases of law. In return, the people of Israel owed David their fealty. They paid taxes, they provided labor where needed, for example, soldiers for his army, and they obeyed David. This type of king-subject relationship gives us a better understanding of how we are to relate to Jesus and his coming kingdom. Like David's subjects, we too owe Jesus fealty, our loyalty. And we are to follow him, we are to obey his laws. Finally, Jesus, in return, personally protects and blesses his people. Let's look at each of those three characteristics of Jesus' kingdom in turn. The first one being that those people who belong to Jesus' kingdom owe him their fealty. Jesus is our king and we are his people. And so we are to be loyal only to him. We are his subjects, or as Paul describes in Philippians 3, we are citizens of heaven. This means that if our citizenship is in heaven, we can't also be citizens of earth. It's true that we might live here for a time, but we don't truly belong here. And so we're not meant to invest our time and our efforts into the things of the world, but into things of heaven. If we think we can have both, then we're probably fooling ourselves. To put it even more strongly, as Paul does in Philippians 3, if we set our mind on earthly things rather than heavenly, we make ourselves enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, this may seem harsh, but Jesus doesn't force anyone to follow him. Instead, he graciously invites people to join his kingdom. And those whom he invites, he also enables. He gives them the gift of faith to trust in him as their king. But there's no escaping that Jesus demands singular loyalty. He himself said that we can't serve two masters. If people are not for Jesus, then they are against him. If we give our loyalty to anyone or anything else, we essentially commit treason against our true king. The second characteristic of Jesus' kingdom is that once we are part of it, we are also expected to obey its laws. I won't spend too much time on this section because we only recently studied the Ten Commandments, which are a good summary of what Jesus expects of us. What I will do, though, is reiterate two important points relating to following Jesus. The first is that it's not contradictory to speak about Jesus and commandments in the same sentence. It is true that Jesus has freed us from the condemnation of God's law. Citizens of Jesus' kingdom no longer fear judgment from God when we fail to keep his commandments because Jesus has fulfilled them on our behalf. Nevertheless, despite frequent claims to the contrary, the law still has its place in the life of a Christian. We have been freed from the law's condemnation so that we can now willingly and joyfully seek to keep the commandments. As Jesus told the disciples on the night he was betrayed, "If you love me, keep my commands." Obeying the law doesn't make us citizens of Jesus' kingdom. We can't earn our way into heaven. But once Jesus has made us citizens, then we will seek to keep the laws of the land, as it were. The second point is that when we follow Jesus, we can expect to be treated like him by the citizens of this world. At Coffee and Chat this week, we were reflecting on why it is that some Christian denominations are more popular than others. Those that preach a so-called prosperity gospel are naturally more popular because they tell people, if you follow Jesus, then he will make you wealthy and successful in this life. Sadly, Jesus never preached a prosperity gospel. Instead, he told his disciples that if they wanted to follow him, they would need to deny themselves and take up their cross. In other words, disciples of Jesus, citizens of heaven, can expect to suffer as he did. And that's obviously not a popular message, though it is an honest one. Disciples who are loyal citizens of Jesus' kingdom and seek to obey him will be disadvantaged in this world and may even be persecuted by it. This leads into our third and final characteristic of Jesus' kingdom, Despite the suffering we can expect as Jesus' citizens, he promises to protect and bless us, as King David protected and blessed the people of Israel. Unlike any human king, Jesus is active in the life of each and every one of his subjects. Jesus is not a king on a distant throne, only to be seen on ceremonial occasions, but he gets up close and personal to anyone who lives in his kingdom. As we heard in today's epistle reading, Jesus is a servant king who humbles himself in loving service to his people. And through his service, through his personal presence with us, Jesus blesses us. Not just in the future when his kingdom will come in its fullness, but right now. When we cry, Hosanna, with the crowds, which means save us, Jesus does. He saves us from the death of sin and transfers us into his kingdom of life through baptism. And Jesus continues to protect us from the effects of our sin by offering us ongoing forgiveness through his word and sacraments. He encourages us to live a life of repentance, removing sin again and again so that it doesn't take hold in our lives to lead us into treason against our King. And if that weren't enough, Jesus gives us his Holy Spirit so that we can start to love his law and start to obey his commands. Jesus also protects us by helping us forgive others when they sin against us so that we don't become angry or bitter. Jesus helps us to forgive just as he has already forgiven us, enabling us to live harmoniously with other citizens of his kingdom and work together to share the good news. And amid the suffering of this life, Jesus gives us peace and joy. He helps us accept that he can paradoxically use suffering even for our good and helps us to struggle on through that suffering. Above all, Jesus gives us the hope of the full blessing that will be bestowed on us when his kingdom comes in its fullness. He assures us that he has gone ahead of us to prepare a place in our Heavenly Father's presence, and that there we will not only be with him, but we will reign with him. There we will receive an eternal inheritance that will far exceed anything we may have missed out on earth as we sought Jesus' kingdom and his righteousness instead of the wealth and comfort of the world. Truly today you can say with the first Palm Sunday crowds, "Blessed is the coming kingdom." Jesus, your King, has come, and he has blessed you with citizenship in heaven. He has saved you from sin and promised you will reign with him forever. So remain loyal and obedient to him. With the help of the Holy Spirit, resist the temptation to renounce your citizenship in Jesus' kingdom for the citizenship of this world. Live instead a life of repentance in the presence of your King, and receive his ongoing gifts until you are free of suffering and death forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.